We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Mayor, you've proved a very popular vote-getter in Warwick, but some people think that you might have difficulty winning a Republican primary statewide if you were to run for a statewide office. Are people correct to think that?
Well, I think obviously the party and I have split paths at certain times. I mean, I did support Link Chafee when he ran for governor. That did not sit well with some people. And I come from the more moderate wing of the party, so I'm sure there are some who will oppose anything that I do. But I still think that when you look at putting together a ticket and putting together a slate of people, you look for people who are proven vote-getters and can actually win elections.
You've decided to seek re-election in Warwick. You've been mayor there for 14 years now. Why would things be different in 2014 in terms of your possibly considering a run for a different office?
Well, I think all options should be on the table. You know, I have never discounted something. For me, the timing has never been right, or the office hasn't been right. But who knows if that might change in the next year.
Is the Tea Party surge nationally, the Republicans and the very conservative southern base that we're seeing in the party, hurting attempts in New England to recruit more people as Republicans?
Well, I think when you see that there's not a Republican member in Congress in all of New England, and there's two senators, one in Maine and one in New Hampshire, and the decision of Olympia Snow not to seek re-election to a seat that she could have held for the rest of her natural life, I think it really does show that we are becoming a geographical party. And it's very difficult. We saw it here in the last election. The Republican brand becomes associated nationally, and it hurts people in New England who go back to those old-fashioned moderate Republican views on pro-environment, on civil rights issues, on race relations, while still trying to be conservative fiscally. That doesn't you can't get away from the national model enough to be able to convince Rhode Islanders that it's okay to vote for a Republican for Congress.
You're a close friend and political ally of Governor Lincoln Chafee. Governor Chafee says he plans to seek re-election in 2014. How would you make the case for the governor for those people who question whether he's really been effective?
Well, I think for cities and towns, Link Chafee has been unbelievably helpful and positive. After being shut out for many years, he actually listens to people. He brings mayors and city officials in on a regular basis to talk about what's helpful to us. Last year, the accelerated school funding formula came about because of those types of meetings. So although he may not show it in his numbers, I think he's been very thoughtful and methodical and has really listened to a lot of voices that previously hadn't been given a voice.
What's the next move in pension overhaul? I know that the cities and towns, it differs among the cities and towns, but certainly we had this great ballyhoo and a state pension overhaul, and yet a lot of the communities in Rhode Island still face some real steep uphill challenges.
Well, there's things that you can do locally. We did that. We changed all of our pension plans starting last July 1st so that people who were hired after that point are in brand new plans. Those are things that you can do. We have four pension plans that we administer. Three are in the first tier and the top tier, the only ones in the state to be in the top tier. And then we have one that's problematic. That's where the Pew Foundation the Arnold Foundation that have partnered with the General Treasurer to come in to look at those pension plans. What changes can we make? What's possible? What's viable? There's lots of things that get thrown out there that, one, aren't going to fly, or two, aren't even doable. So let's look at what are the options. We've had a whole group of people looking at our one problematic plan, and I don't think it's going to be done on a statewide basis. I think it's going to take decisions on a local level where you're going to have to get in there and really do some hard work.
Now, one thing we know 151 local pension systems for a tiny state, not even big enough to be a county anywhere else. Is there down the road any kind of momentum for merging some of these systems, overcoming the duplication that we have in moving money around and in also administering these things?
Well, I know that there are some on the state level who would like to take all the local plans and force them into the MERS program, the state plan. I would oppose that because we've out produced and outperformed our investments every year over the state plans. So they would like to take that money in and make us part of them. Now, in some cases, their benefit plan is better than ours. So we would actually be increasing benefits and we'd lose control over our investments, which have outperformed what the state has done.
Mayor, you're a student of the Center in American Politics. How do we move past this situation where Americans say they're tired and very frustrated with the gridlock they see in Washington, but members of Congress run from these safe red or blue districts, so they play to their own constituents and they don't really feel any pressure to strive for compromise and collaboration?
Well, there's no incentive to do that. The moment you move toward the middle, the far wings of each party suggest that they'll put you in a primary. We're already seeing that now, that for those people who voted a certain way on either the Superstorm money that came in or on the fiscal cliff, that, okay, you didn't do what we wanted you to do, so we'll put you in a primary. If that's what it's going to become, if we're going to go solely to extremes always dictating how people have to behave, then we're not going to get anywhere closer and closer to the middle.
Closer to home, we see how the Republican Party in Rhode Island continues to struggle. You've been popular in Warwick. Alan Fung's been popular in Cranston. But at the General Assembly, the number of Republican lawmakers was cut last year from 18 to 11. What strategy do you think the Republican Party should adopt to increase its representation at the State House?
Well, I think you have to look first and foremost for candidates that are well known in their districts to begin with. So it might be the Little League coach or the CYO coach or someone who's been active in a neighborhood group or a local community group. Just simply saying this person is a great candidate on paper doesn't necessarily make them well-known in their neighborhood. And I think a lot of times we say, okay, we filled a seat, and the focus has been on filling as many seats as possible instead of finding the right person to run in a district.
We know that Rhode Island's economy is really where the sick man of New England right now, but there is some light at the end of this tunnel. One of them coming up is TF Green Airport in your home city of Warwick. Just how many jobs are we likely to get off the runway expansion and safety upgrade project that's going to be there? And when do we get bulldozers in the ground?
Well, the projection is that there'll be between 450 and 500 construction-related jobs as this goes forward. They are in the final design phase right now. The safety overrun area was supposed to move across Airport Road and would have required moving Airport Road and Post Road. They've scaled that back now. So now that that is a smaller project, we'll see it probably start within the next year.
Staying on the transit theme, it was about a year ago, Mayor Avedisian, when you became chairman of RIPTA. The agency has been plagued for years by funding problems. How is the outlook for putting RIPTA on a more sustainable footing?
Well, I think one of the things we've tried to do with the General Assembly is show them that we're going to put our house in order first. You can't go up there and ask for money when we don't have policies and procedures in place. We don't have a great track record to be able to go show them where we are. So the board has spent a lot of time with the resource team recently saying, okay, where are we lacking? What policies don't we have? How do we do that? How do we approve them by the board and get them so that we have a good firm grasp of our agency, and then go to the General Assembly and say, look, we've done all these other steps. We've tried to right our ship. We think we have real good control over what we're doing now, and now we need to work on the funding piece.
What will it take to get Green Airport more traffic in there? Is it the expansion the key to this, or is there something more? I know JetBlue has just come to the airport, which is obviously a good thing. What do you see down the road?
Well, you know, they built the terminal for 6 million passengers a year. We're at less than half of that capacity. So it's going to mean more flights. You know, we've lost a number of airlines in the last few years who have either curtailed service or just picked up and left. Spirit Airlines, American Eagle. We need to try to get them back. We need to look for niche markets where we can move people. I think JetBlue is a great beginning, even though there's only a few flights a day. We have a very large Dominican population here in the state of Rhode Island. They fly to the Dominican Republic. Direct flights to the Dominican Republic probably would be full all the time. And that's a way that it's an area that we're not serving. It's a way to bring people in. It's a way to show people that TF Green is convenient and easy. And when we do our surveying of people who are traveling, What people like best is you can see all the gates when you walk through the metal detectors, and you can see all the ticket counters so that we know it's effective and efficient. We just have to get the people through.
Is there a way, a lot of people that I know say, look, it's so much easier to deal with Green Airport than it is to deal with Logan Airport in Boston. Is there a way to get more business travelers here through advertising in that market?
Well, I think they have been doing that, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau has been doing that. But I think what we really need to do is have more flights to the locations and destinations that people want to go.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Ian.
And Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian, thanks for visiting.
My pleasure.